Yeah, Lord. Thank you for Henry. Lord, I want to ask you that you use him as a vessel this morning. That as we spoke about surrendering our hearts, that his message would penetrate our hearts, Lord. That it would sink deep in, that we would take it in, Lord, as we go into this week and into the end of the year and into this new year, Lord. Yeah, Lord, I ask that you just use him, fill him with the Spirit, guide him, Lord. And yeah, in your Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Henry.
Thank you. And thank you, Ruan. First time. It won't be the last time. Come on, guys. Yeah. There we go. They call this the skeleton time, the skeleton staff time. Yeah, so we're a bunch of skeletons here this morning. But it's all good to see you all, and wonderful to see you all, and trusting the Lord to just speak to our hearts and just draw us near. Eh? Beautiful time at all. Yeah, I do have an arrow here, so don't be afraid. I'm not going to use it on anyone. It's definitely just for show. It's the only arrow I have. That's a real arrow. And we will talk a little bit about it because it does have reference to your lives. I think there's a statement that says something about as straight as an arrow. And something has to happen with an arrow. You don't have arrow just for pretty. You have arrow to hit a target. All right, and that's what we're going to aim for this morning in terms of hitting a target. So 25 months ago, I stood in this building. 25 months ago, 2 years, eh? Two and a bit years. But I wasn't the elder here. I wasn't an elder here. I was an elder of another congregation. I had come here to serve. It was an opportunity for me to give a word and to share a word, and I shared something to the effect that your heart must beat again. That was the word that I gave on the 12th of November 2023. Gone by so quickly. You think a year drags by? It's already 2 years and it's gone, and a lot of things have happened for us and our hearts. It's going to be my word forever for this congregation, that you keep your heart beating. You keep your heart beating, and you need to speak to your heart, and you need to speak hard sometimes. You really need to get through to your heart, but sometimes your heart doesn't listen. And I'm talking about the flesh. I'm talking about the spirit, man, the spirit of our heart, our lives, and how we need to be devoted and given to the Lord. In every way, so your heart must get beat again. So this morning I'm going to be speaking about mending broken arrows, and for good reason. This week, let me just get my notes out here so I don't get off track. I wanted to speak to you about Jacob, and I probably still will just share a bit about Jacob, because Jacob has a quite a unique part of his story where he actually wrestles with God. He wrestles with God. And one would ask the question, and it seems like, if you read the story, it seems like that Jacob was winning. And at the end, the person or the opponent that came against him said, "I'm going. I'm stopping right here." But if you really dig into the story, you'll find a little more truth to that than just a strong man wrestling with what would appear to be an angel and what we would think to be Jesus himself, that Jesus had come to wrestle with Jacob. And a very good reason. And sometimes he actually needs to break into our spaces, each one of us, as we sit here this morning. And we can write it off and say, oh, you know, it's just maybe a small little thing that I'm not quite there or whatever. But I really want to speak to you this morning about the brokenness of an arrow. Because the brokenness of an arrow restricts what the arrow can do. You cannot use a broken arrow. You can try, but you're not going to be very good. You can try. So as I begin this morning, I want to start off with a Greek word. There's a Greek word in the New Testament. The New Testament was written in Greek. And the Greek word is hamartia. H-A-M-A-R-T-I. Hamartia. And the word means sin. But if you unpack the word, you will find it means to miss the mark. And hence the picture of the arrow. That we need to bear in our hearts and bear in our minds that we can miss the mark. And how much does it take to miss the mark? Anybody? That much. Okay. To miss the mark is easy. But let me tell you something about this. Let me read a portion from the book of Psalms so that you can understand where we're going to with this thing. Psalm 32, verse 1 says this. You got it, Hisori? 32. Psalm 32, verse 1. Did I write 42? Sinner. Okay. All right, this is my first time. I'm sorry. No, it wasn't my first time. Yeah, I think it's the first time I used my phone to put the numbers out there for Sisori. So she's doing her best. But let me read it to you. It's not a difficult portion to follow. And Psalm 32, verse 1 says this. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Are you blessed this morning? Blessed is the one. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and whose heart there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, this is David speaking, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy, it was severe and weighty upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. It's quite a rough statement to make. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. It's almost like you forgave the sin of my sin. So there's an element about sin that can grab hold of us, that God needs to dig deep into our spirits and into our lives. And sometimes we think we're good to go. But then He comes. He comes to pick up the broken arrow, to see if you can hit the mark. Let me say this, friends. The whole story of redemption, the whole story of redemption is built around hitting the mark. The whole story. Jesus died that we could hit the mark. He died that we could hit the mark. Paul alludes to this word, hitting the mark. He uses it in Philippians 3. He says, I press toward the goal or the mark of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward that. Jesus, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, well, I've given you that right scripture. All right, we're winning. For our sake, God made him, God made Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What an exchange. That he literally missed the mark. He literally missed the mark. He carried the weight of the burden of sin upon himself. He missed the mark in order that we could find the righteousness of God. In other words, we could hit the mark. So the exchange is quite clear. He's given us the pattern, the pathway that this arrow will travel. The arrow of your life and my life for us to hit the mark. Straight arrow is necessary to hit the mark. Not an arrow that is broken. So, all these things, the beauty of the exchange, the forgiveness that we have, the righteousness we have, the justification that we have, the sanctification that we have. You can add all the benefits of Scripture. We are given a freedom like no other freedom. And the freedom is to hit the mark. That's really what it's about. So let's look into our metaphor today, the metaphor of hitting the mark. So it starts with the mark. The purpose of the Creator is that we would hit the mark, that we would actually achieve what He wants us to achieve, that He would actually get our purpose right, that we would achieve what He wants. And what does God want? What is the mark? What would it look like if you really had to work it out? Because God sets it up, and we need to find it. If we miss the mark, we miss the mark. And what does it mean to miss the mark? It means you lost out something of what God wanted for your life. And perhaps the only thing God wants from your life is to hit the mark. And Christ has already achieved that for us, because we have received the righteousness of Christ as a result of Him taking sin upon Himself. So the purpose is set by the passion of God. And it matters to God that you hit the mark. Why would He set it up for us if it was not possible to reach it? But He gave it to us that we could set. He set it before us as a goal. And there is nothing that can stop us from achieving that, provided we follow Him. Who is the bowman? The metaphor is a mark. And who is the bowman? Who knows how to get the best result? It's the one who uses the arrows, and that would be the Lord, our Father. He would set the trajectory, and He uses it with all His skill. So He knows how to use a bow. Our Father knows how to use you. He knows how to deliver you. So you can hit the mark. But once again, I draw you back to the arrow. Because we are the arrow, and it says in Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, that we can hit the mark. Then we have one lost person that we need to consider in this metaphor of the mark, the bowman, and the arrow, and that is the fletcher. Who knows what the fletcher is? Anyone? The man who makes the arrows. That's exactly right. The man who makes the arrows. The man who picks it out. The man who straightens the arrows. The man who checks the arrows. And there's certain components of the arrows that all need to work. This particular one is a carbon fiber, I think. Huh? That it's not easy to break. I could break it, but I wouldn't want to do that. That's silly, just to break it for the sake of breaking it. But these arrows are pretty straight, aren't they? They go straight, they travel straight, they fly straight, they are very powerful, and they're very dangerous if you use them correctly and you know how to use them. But we are not carbon fibers. We are not carbon fibers. We are carbon. And we do have fibers, but we don't look like this. Okay, we can break, we can bend, we can warp, and any one of those facets of that arrow can actually make us miss the mark. So the question is this morning, are you a broken arrow? You say, no, I'm not. I'm good to go. Does it not say in Scripture that none of us can say that we have not sinned? And if we sinned, we are broken. In some way, we are broken. And we do sin. But can we find our salvation again? Can we find our fix? Can we find that once again we can be whole, that God can use us? It's a very powerful thing to be used by God. So the fletcher is the one who makes the arrow. He selects the wood. He chooses the straight ones. There's a chosenness about the fact that you are here this morning, a chosenness that God has set out, that you are an arrow given by God, called by God, selected, the length, fixed, fit for the purpose, the design, the reason why. Most of the arrows of Scripture are for war. When the arrow is referred to in the scriptures, refer to a war. We use them in a war, and there is a war between good and evil. There is a war of the enemy that stands up again and again to get to us and break into our lives. So we need to be good arrows and ready for what God wants to use them for. So is it important maybe to deal with the fact that we could be a broken arrow here this morning, that we could not be fit for use, that if you were to put it in the bow, it doesn't matter how good the bowman is. If you put it in the bow and you shoot the arrow, what would happen? A wild guess. Anyway, no target. Kill anybody along the line. Kill yourself. Go for it. Don't worry about that. It's fine. The broken arrow. Yielded to God. Surrendered. We used the word several times this morning, did we not? To be surrendered. To be ready for what God wants to do with us. To be ready anytime. And the best way and the best place to be is a place of surrender. And how often we you can keep it. Look after it for me. Okay. All right. He doesn't want me to fall over my own arrow. I knew that. Yeah. We need to be surrendered. We need to be ready for God to use us. So when he draws the arrow out the quiver, it's ready. If he draws the arrow out the quiver and it's broken, throw it away. Because he can't fix it in war. He's dealing with important matters. So it needs to be fixed, needs to be straightened. An arrow that is warped, and it's easy for an arrow to warp. In the days that where they never had carbon fiber, they would make it of wood. And wood bends. Put a little bit of heat on it and it bends. Put a little bit of water on it and it bends. Number of ways. So they used a particular kind of wood and they would keep it straight. And how would they keep it straight? How would a fletcher keep an arrow straight? Can I tell you how? He would take all the straight arrows and take a bent arrow and put it in the midst of the straight arrows and bunch them together that the warped arrow would go straight and straighten itself. Or he had to have a special table that he would lay it on. And I would say in all this purpose and the process of the fletcher is the process of the Holy Spirit in your life. And given to us by God, by Jesus, said that you will have a comforter who will draw alongside you, who will help you, who will get you through this, who will be able to break even the most difficult things, but that we are not surrendered to sin, that we are not surrendered to the things that make us broken and call us to be out of line with God and out of line with you. Understand this, friends. If your arrow is broken, you're not going to hit the mark. If your arrow is bent, you're not going to hit the mark. If your arrow was broken and you decided to use a short arrow, you won't even reach the mark. There's no way that you can get around it but to have a good arrow. And to be a good arrow, you need to be surrendered to God. Because sometimes we get into the place where we don't think we need that much from God. I think, my friends, this is a test for every single day of your life. To test if your arrow is straight. Test that you are hitting the mark. Because every day you are given the task to hit the mark. And what does hitting the mark do in the realm of darkness? Is not Satan called the accuser of the brethren? Would he have a right to stand before God and say, "Have you seen? Have you seen?" He has that. Oftentimes he would appear before the presence of God, for he is and remains the accuser of the brethren. Give him any opportunity and he will stand in that place and he will accuse you before God. See? He sinned. He's not going to hit the mark. You've lost out. You can join my team. I've got a bunch of losers. He thinks he has all the straight arrows, but he'll never get them. He'll never get them if we give them to Jesus. So the important thing is to find that stability in God. Broken arrows, God can fix. If it is a cracked arrow, it will be called a bummer arrow. Doesn't sound like a nice arrow to be. Or a bent or warped one, flies the wrong way, short, no reach. If the feathers, the fletch on the back end of an arrow called the fletch, and sometimes those are torn and wounded, and the arrow will go to the left or to the right or up or down, it won't hit the target. Important. If the tip is broken, if you're clever, you would say, what's the point? What's the point if your tip is broken? Even if you struck the target, it would just fall down because your tip is broken. So every part, so we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit and the one who holds the bow. And as we do that, we then can learn to hit the target every time. So let me take you to the story of Jacob. This story of Jacob is quite an interesting story. If you look at the story, Jacob was one of twins. He had a brother called Esau. In fact, Esau was the firstborn. Now, I don't know how the firstborn and the secondborn work with twins, but it must be quite a difficult space to work in. All right, so Esau was the firstborn. He was the guy that came first. Jacob was second. And the scripture says that he held on to the heel of Esau in the birth. Now that's quite a unique situation, is it not? And then they give him the name Jacob, which means the one who grabs the heel. Imagine giving a person a name for the very thing you do. And it becomes your label. And in fact, it did become Jacob's label. From that point on, he simply lived in that kind of space. Everywhere we see Jacob is doing something where he's actually grabbing at the heel of his brother, grabbing at someone else, or taking someone else. At one particular stage, he actually took the birthright, which belonged to Esau. He took it just because Esau was hungry. And he said, I'll give it to you to eat, but give me your birthright. And Esau was so hungry, he said, yeah, sure, take it. I don't know if he was playing or he didn't even have a sense of what it was about, but he lost his birthright just for that. Jacob took it. At the time of Isaac's death, and Isaac was Jacob's father, at the time of his death, or just before he died, he would call his sons. And as he called his sons, he said, come, I want to give you a blessing. And then Jacob slipped in. He put on a hairy skin because his brother was hairy and he wasn't hairy, he had a smooth skin. He put on a skin over his hand to give to his father, and the father felt his hand and he said, I will give you the blessing of the firstborn. And he gave him the blessing of the firstborn, and Jacob walked away with the blessing by tricking the father. So that was Jacob's nature. He was a supplanter. He was a scallum, a scallywag. He would take he was an opportunist. He was an opportunist when he went and got married. He married a first wife, and then the father-in-law did him in and gave him the wrong woman to marry. And then he said, all right, I want the one that I really want. And the father-in-law said, well, you can work another 7 years for her. And he worked another 7 years and he got her. So he had two wives from the same father-in-law. That was kind of complicated. And there were a whole lot of things that happened along the way. I don't want to have to go into every detail of the story, but Jacob was seriously one of those DIY guys. I'll do it my way kind of guy. You know, I'll do it my way. I'll get everything right my way. I mean, he took half of the guy's stock because he had a very clever idea, and he worked it out, and he got half of his father-in-law's stock and took it away from him. He said, you can give it to me, and he made a plan, and it worked for him. You can read the story. The details are fascinating. But this is Jacob. But there came a day, and somewhere in the heart of Jacob, Jacob was still a believing man. He believed in a God, but he thought he was okay. He thought he could do it his own way. He thought he could do everything his own way. I don't know what he thought that he couldn't do. He was able to do everything he could do, and he wanted to do, and he was a successful man. But there was a day that God confronted him and said, I want you to go back home. And Jacob became afraid. And he said, my brother is going to kill me. And he prayed. And let's go to his prayer. Let's go and read his prayer in Genesis. All right. Genesis 32. He says this, please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers and the children. That was his cry. That was his heartache. And then Genesis 32, a little further down the line, he says, verse 22, the same night he arose and took his two wives, two female servants, and 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok, the river. He took them and sent them across the stream, everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And the scripture's nondescriptive from there, but it says this, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. You read a little further and you begin to understand that it was an angel, or it was a messenger of God. So who was it? We would assume and presume that it was someone important. And even if it was an archangel, it was one of the angels, or it was Jesus himself that came to wrestle with Jacob. What was the reason? Why would he wrestle him? An argument broke out, I would figure. What was the argument about? We don't know. So we don't know the detail of how Jacob got into a fight with this angel. But he was in a fight, and it was a really serious fight. And one would think, oh, just a little tussle here and there, you know, a little push and a shove and what have you. It wasn't. It happened the whole night. It was the whole night. They wrestled until daybreak. They wrestled up and down. Who's winning? Who's not winning? Who's down? Who's up? I don't know what all kind of tricks they played, but they were using strength against each other, one strength against the other. And you ask yourself the question, so what was that about? Jacob wanted a blessing. Jacob wanted a blessing. And let me read on from verse 26, or verse 25, sorry. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then he said, let me go, for the day is broken. And Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And then he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And then the man said to him, your names shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, but you have striven with God and with men, and have prevailed. And then Jacob asked the question, who are you? Why did he bless him? And what was that fight about? There are two opinions, and I'm going to close with this. The one opinion is this, that Jacob was indeed strong, and that he was wrestling with someone who was reluctant to do what he wanted him to do. And maybe that was so. But why would that one wrestle? Why would that one wrestle back if he was reluctant? Could he not just leave? Could he not just stay out of the fight? But Jacob held him there. So that could be one opinion. The other opinion is that the man came to bless him. And Jacob did not want to be blessed. I can do it my way. I don't need you. I'm going to get through this. I've done it my way all the way. I've been strong enough. I've been good enough. I can handle this thing. I don't need you. And the man wrestled with him. So we can argue it both ways, whether the man was reluctant to give him the blessing or Jacob was reluctant to receive the blessing. And I would feel that it was Jacob who was reluctant to receive the blessing. And right at the end, and it's although it says that Jacob was striving with God, And he prevailed. But how long can you resist and stay resisting? So his striving was the issue. He was striving to the end. Right to the end, eventually the angel said, I'm going now. But he wouldn't surrender. That's the problem. He did not surrender. He didn't want his arrow to be shot because it was bent. Or he wanted his arrow to be shot, but it was bent, out of shape. And the angel had come because I want to change you. I want to set you free. And the only way for me to set you free is to stop the very action of your name, that you're no longer the supplanter, that you're no longer the one that grabs on the heel, but that you're going to now act as Israel, the one who strives with God. And in fact, I'm going to change your name and actually set the platform for a nation to be built on that name, the nation of Israel. So I'm set in my ways, would pretty much be Jacob's problem. He had a label that he lived by. He lived by his label. He lived by his name. Every action he did, every deed he did, was simply living by his name. And then God said, but I need you to be shot as an arrow. And I cannot shoot you, for you are a broken arrow. And the only way for me to fix you is to put your hip out of joint. Because that is the only way that you will surrender. He put his hip out of joint, and that helped him to make a decision and say, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And he blessed him there. So this morning, we deal with sin. Hamartia. The one that causes us to miss the mark. And whatever that sin is, and whatever Jacob's sin was, and whether his sin was just like an independent, I can do it in my own strength, I can do it in my own way. But he sinned. He was wrong. And God needed to change him. And God took the opportunity and literally cut across his pathway and stopped him right there and said, no further, no further. And Jacob agreed, surrendered. And he said, I will bless you. And he blessed him. This morning, I want you to walk away with a blessing. I don't want you to walk away as a broken arrow. I don't want you to walk away as one who strives with God and doesn't get an answer. Because there are things that we need answers for in our life. And so we're coming to God this morning and say, Lord, would you come and bless me? I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to resist. So I want you all just to close your eyes for a moment. And I'm going to ask the question of you. Number one, the first question is this. Is your arrow bent? Or are you hitting the mark? Are you hitting the mark with God? Or is your arrow bent? Is it broken? Shortened? Are the flight feathers working the way they should? Do you have a tip on your arrow? Or are you going to miss the mark somewhere because you've just neglected your arrow or the way your arrow functions? Or you've not given yourself to the Fletcher, the Holy Spirit, to actually change your life? If you are in such a place, maybe just stand with me. Just be bold enough and stand and say, God, my arrow is not straight. I'm not good with you. There are days, moments, things in my life that are not quite right. And maybe God has confronted you, and maybe God will confront you even this morning. I'm not God. I'm not the one that's going to wrestle with you. But you're going to wrestle with God until you have surrendered. So would you surrender this morning and say, Lord, me, take my life. Take a stand. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. It's a good place to stand. I'll give you a moment just to think about it. Are you hitting the mark? Or are you missing the mark? Can you stand Can you stand? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for those that have stood this morning. And even for those that are standing up in their hearts and say, God, maybe there is something that is not quite in place. I want to give myself for that today. Would you bless me? Would you bless me? I'm not going to resist until you put my hip out of joint. I'm going to surrender to you, God, that I'm all yours. We do this in the name of Jesus. We yield ourselves, Holy Spirit, to you, the Fletcher, who will work our error until it is straight. So that as the Father releases us, as the bowman, we will fly through the air and hit the mark that glorifies his name, that honors him. God, do your work here this morning in each one of our hearts, I pray. Amen. Just a last appeal. And we always make this appeal because there are opportunities in people's lives where they need to surrender to him for the first time. The very first time. And maybe there is one of you here this morning just saying, I'm not quite sure if I've ever really surrendered my life to God, ever really given myself to be an arrow for him. And then you can just put up your hand quickly and we're going to pray with you before we close this meeting. Is there anyone here this morning? Thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Have a wonderful week. Please do have coffee with us. Don't just run away. And yeah, we'll work our skeletons and keep our skeletons going for the rest of the time. Be blessed and have a good week.